7th of April 2007, Mora. This month, Alistair's sister, Mora, is 70. As a present, her brother paid for her to spend a few nights in a West End hotel, so the two of them could spend more time together over the Easter weekend. Recent days have seen several light walks, with breaks for Alistair's asthma and breathing, and plenty of fresh air. This morning, Mora left for Edinburgh to see her daughter and I gave her a lift to the station, but before I dropped her off, we stopped for a quick coffee and an early years chat. As we sat down in the bright morning sunshine, I asked her if she had enjoyed the time she and Alistair had spent together. She smiled widely and said, "Oh yes, but I always forget that, he has such verbal diarrhea." She sipped her water. "Everything we passed on the way, he had to describe it, give the whole history of everything. It's exhausting." She smiled again, making sure I understood that this was said in a friendly way, and we began. The first thing that struck me about Mora was the physical contrast between brother and sister. Mora has retained a remarkably youthful look and could easily be mistaken for someone many years younger. This is clearly because she enjoys exercise, she's wearing trainers and carrying a rucksack, but there is also a personable brightness about her that shows the weight of the world does not press so heavily on her shoulders as it does on her brother's, and it has always been so. Mora modestly described their early relationship. "I was always very aware of how clever he was. When I was reading Enid Blyton, he was reading George Orwell, but that made him very serious, very, and I felt bad for him sometimes." This led us into talking about the old Grey family home and Mora's early memories. One of the important things about today's interview was to get a clearer idea of the family home and explore whether Alistair's version was a real one or not, the people in it too. Mora's version of her parents brings them to life in a new way. These are the fond observations of a daughter, but they show a more personal, alive, believable home life than Alistair's version, which concentrates largely on books and how he got to them. Many of Mora's descriptions are useful in building a picture of those early years, and she is the only one left able to give a first-hand account. Here are a few of her memories of her mother to show the contrast. Amy is a single girl. "Of the two of my parents, she was the flighty one. She used to tell me how she met my father at the Holiday Fellowship. Well, she was in her late 20s by then, and she said she went to HF because girls used to joke it stood for Husbands Found. So she wasn't shy. She went to Switzerland, I think, with a friend before she got married, which was very unusual for a single girl in those days." Amy is manager. "She was an exceedingly good manager. It was only due to her good management during the war that she saved enough for us to live off after it when we returned to Glasgow. She was a very efficient person. Knitting, sewing, cooking. She was always working hard, and she controlled the finances too. Dad came home with his pay packet every week, handed it over, and then she would give him his pocket money for the week. Dad, like Alistair, was very bad with money." Amy is confidant. "Mum was very kind, but not demonstrative. She was like a sponge. People could tell her anything and knew it wouldn't be gossiped about." This gives a very dissimilar picture to Alistair's climate in which you live. That climate seems blander, and the divergence between brother and sister's interpretations suggests Alistair was not your typical child. He was introverted, aggravated, nervous. He was bookish and had grand dreams. Mora was a happy-go-lucky girl who enjoyed life and remembers Aunt Annie and Uncle Ned coming round to play bridge and Thursday's high teas, and insists she was never told her mother was dying. Mora has more 70th birthday presents to come. She is off to see her daughter in Edinburgh now, before returning to husband Bert Rolley in Northumbria, which she says is very beautiful, then jetting off to Venice to celebrate again. When I dropped her off at the station, Mora ran across the road towards her train.